Okay. Welcome, everybody. April 13th, 2010. Looking at the calendar here and all the beautiful flowers blooming in spring. I'm having very wonderful experiences connecting with Mother Earth, walking around and enjoying all the flowers, which seem especially bright and intense this year. I think part of the reason is that we had more rain than usual, but I also feel the crystalline energy really coming up from the earth, and I see lots and lots more flowers than I've ever seen here where I live. And I'm also having lots of experiences, such as yesterday walking out in the yard and the hummingbird coming right up to me. And it came up behind me first, and I thought, what's that loud noise? And I looked around, and it practically is landed on me. So I really feel that I'm having all kinds of experiences where I really feel that nature and I are communing. So some of you may be having lots of those experiences also. And we are still in Aries, and tomorrow we have a new moon in Aries, so we still are in the new spring energy. So we'll talk a little bit about that and how that may be affecting us now and how to move forward in that. And then we'll talk about a couple other energies that are going on. And so somebody probably needs star 6. There you go. Thank you. I just wanted to say that I am Yogi Bhajan and some other astral beings did come in. I tuned in right before the call, and they just are saying that they're here, and they just love to be in everybody's presence. And what I'm hearing from him right now is, as things change more in the outer world, keep calling on him to help keep your inner world balanced with the higher frequencies. And he's saying it's not a time to go it alone, that you have help. And he's saying he's very fond of everybody on the call, and the other beings, Baba Sri Chan and some other beings on the other side, so to speak, although he's saying the veil is thinner than you think, are here to assist us in making this marvelous transition and anchoring in these higher frequencies, not only on the planet, but in our own selves, so that everybody can be successful. He's saying so that everybody can be, he said, remember I told you, so that everybody can be bountiful, beautiful, and blissful. So he's here smiling with us and just suggesting that we all practice walking and deep breathing during this time. He's saying he really wants to get our cardiovascular up and get our breath walk connected with our body. So we've talked at different times about the breath, but he's saying with all this fresh spring air, this is a really good time to revitalize, and that will rejuvenate you, that will rejuvenate us, and there's something very special, he's saying, about the spring air and the energy that's coming from the newness, the new birth of the flowers and the leaves and everything. So he's saying he wants to make sure that we all take full advantage of that so we can all stay healthy and strong. And I was kind of thinking about this earlier today. I'd forgotten about it, and I'm kind of laughing, and he's kind of laughing too. He was here in San Diego one time in the spring. It was for a white tantra course, and he said, oh, the spring's just a great time to fast, and it'll totally rejuvenate you, and go on a white daikon radish juice fast. And I thought, oh, great. I was all inspired to do that. So I ran out to the local co-op, and I bought these huge white daikon radishes. And I juiced one, and I took a huge drink. Oh, my gosh. If anybody's ever had white daikon radishes, it's very bitter. So that was kind of funny. And for months afterwards, I had a refrigerator full of white daikon radishes. I didn't know what to do with. That was just a little bit of a strong fast. I think it was only for the most immortal of immortal yogis or something. And that was kind of a funny experience. But it is a good time, of course, to juice and have carrot juice and whatever you like, some wonderful juices. It's a good time to cleanse. And we were just talking about changing, some people are changing their diet and not eating sugar, and that's a very good thing. So this is a good time with this Aries energy to anchor in and begin. It's a time of new beginning. So begin cleansing, begin new projects, begin new ideas. So tomorrow we have a new moon in Aries, and this is a very interesting new moon. And what's interesting about this new moon in Aries is that we've had Aries in the sun sign of Aries, and with Mars energy, which is what rules Aries, which is the masculine energy, moving forward, that power to move forward in the world. And now, with the moon in Aries, we've got the feminine balance. So we have a partnership. So at the very beginning of the year, and we talked about that the spring equinox is the real beginning of the year, we have this joining of the male and female energies, the male and female powers on the planet, the balance of the divine masculine and the divine feminine. So Mother Earth is coming forth to join the Aries energy in moving forward. So this is a very significant new moon tomorrow. It's a very significant end of this Aries cycle where we have the feminine joining with the masculine and moving forward in this divine partnership as we move into the rest of the year and ground our intentions in when we move into Taurus later in the month. So this dance of the male and the female is also, it's also aspected with a Mars and Leo. So again, we have the Leo is the heart, the leadership. So we have the balance of the divine feminine and the divine masculine moving forward in Leo, moving forward with love, moving forward with full expression. So this is a beautiful time to fully express your passion and what it is that you want to bring forward onto the planet. And it can just be expressing, feeling love, and breathing deeply when you take walks and enjoy the springtime, or it could be certain projects, or it could be changing your diet. Anything that you feel honors and balances the divine balance, male-female balance, and anything that opens your heart, this is what these energies are bringing forth now. So we've had kind of a couple rough weeks where we were working with a lot of, you know, the Pluto, Saturn, Capricorn energy that we've been talking about. But at the moment, we have a little bit of a reprieve from that. So this is really a time of feeling balanced and feeling loving and loving yourself and being able to love others in a balanced way. So that's one thing. That's the most significant aspect of what we're working with this Aries new moon. And so these energies are still affected by Saturn, but Saturn is what is grounding in these new energies that we're bringing forth. So Saturn's not something that's bad, it's just something that makes us get grounded. And with the moon in Aries, the feminine energy in Aries, we need to really get grounded in that divine feminine. In other words, all the work we've been doing to connect with the Mother Earth and to anchor in those higher ascension frequencies on the Mother, which has been our whole journey together. So for us, this is a really significant new beginning to the year. So we had that Libra full moon, March 29th and 30th, and this had a Saturn aspect, and that's when people were feeling maybe the resolution of really deep old wounds or conflicts that they'd been avoiding. So we're coming out of that heaviness and moving into more of a position of strength, more of a position of fully expressing ourselves, and more of a position of a strength of direction. So you can notice how that's showing up for you in your life. And with coming out of that aspect, with this male-female balance with the feminine moon, it should create more emotional stability than we've had lately. So just notice that. What's happening in the galactic realms, the bigger realms, At the beginning of May, we're coming to the midpoint of night 6 of the galactic underworld. This is the Mayan calendar reference point. And what happened in this correlating point of time, around 10,000 BC, was that there was weather, strange weather, and there were tectonic cataclysms during that time in 10,000 BC, which was also night 6. So we are reliving this in that we are having intense weather patterns and we are having earthquakes, but this time we're also using it as a way of healing. So it's not something that's going to actually destroy us or destroy the planet. It's just some adjustments, which is completely different than utter destruction. So there may be some old trauma that's planetary that comes up through us about the planet being almost destroyed at that time. So just look for very deep subconscious patterns. That's what it probably means to you. And just know that those are of the past, and we're balancing with the Earth, and we're moving forward in harmony and in these ascension frequencies. And the Earth is moving. The Earth is moving right along. What we have coming up very soon, we've had Chiron in Aquarius, and Chiron is the half man, half horse, which represents the integration of our human and animal natures. In other words, getting how we can balance our humanity with our higher self. So Chiron's the healer, teacher. Sometimes we talk about it, about the wounded healer. So what this means is we have Chiron that's going to be moving, after it's been in Aquarius for a long time, it's going to be moving into Pisces, and Pisces has to do with that oneness with spirit. It's going to be in Pisces for 9 years, which is a big shift. So what's happening is during this shift, we're seeing a lot of old wounds about religion coming to the surface, such as what's been happening with the Catholic Church, the abuse that's come to the surface where all that's been hidden forever. So with that Chiron in Pisces is that spirituality, that oneness, that union with the divine, and that's what we've been working on. We've been uniting the ascension of the planet with ourselves and experiencing that union with the divine mother. So astrologically, Chiron's going to move into Pisces April 19th, which is very soon. And this is going to reflect a crisis where there's not a connection with universal oneness. When Chiron was in Pisces before, it was 1960 to 68. So many of you might remember that, the ones that aren't too young, but I'm sure you know about it anyway. And this was that whole Summer of Love in San Francisco, the civil rights movement and all that, when just that consciousness of the heart chakra and the consciousness of living in love and having a planet of peace that changed humanity opened up at that time. So that was a period of mystical oneness, and now we're moving back into that same configuration with Chiron and Pisces again. So this is actually a very hopeful sign, according to the Mayan calendar, when Chiron will be in Pisces, inspiring as an inspiration for humankind to move into what we've been working with, creating oneness and love and peace for all beings. So this is a very significant event for all of us to be aware of and see those areas, as I said, with the Catholic Church being pushed to the surface, where when people have gone to the church for that experience of oneness and they've been abused, how that is being shown that's not okay. So this is definitely a healing, a huge healing, and a bringing back into balance the protective male for the divine feminine rather than the abusive male. So we're rebalancing that power struggle, and that's what that Leo I talked about. So the power has to be balanced and coming from the heart, so it's shared power and not power over. So those are the major aspects that we're working with right now during this planetary, very exciting new moon in Aries tomorrow, and those are the general frequencies that we're moving into, the Chiron and Pisces, and how that's going to bring us into balance with the unity of the divine on the planet. And so we get to work with this for the next 9 years. So anything, as I said, Chiron is also represented as the wounded healer. So anything that's not considered to be in balance with the from the heart, with the divine masculine and feminine, will come to the surface to be healed. So we can look around us and see lots of other ways that that might show up. So that's what to be aware of in yourself and around. And I just kind of had an interesting experience the other day. I happened to turn on the CBS Evening News for a minute, and right at the very beginning of the news, I actually wasn't going to sit and watch it, I just turned it on, and the first thing I heard them say, their first news item was Tiger Woods, and I thought, this is a CBS Evening News, you know, what is this, like, this is entertainment, Entertainment Tonight, or what those different Hollywood entertainment shows are. It really surprised me, and I thought, this is really funny. I can't tell the difference between what used to be, quote-unquote, a serious newscast, too. They all seem the same now. I mean, it just seems very humorous to me. And I thought it was really interesting that they're, on many levels, one level is, you know, maybe people don't always just want to hear about wars. Maybe this is also a sign that we're moving away from just focusing on war. And this is a really important point, because whatever we put our minds on is what we create. So there is a war going on. The war is, so to speak, if we want to call it a war, struggle, whatever we want to call it, light against dark. And remembering that all human beings are light. We're basically light. Our thoughts are light. What we emit from our minds is light. So we're just sending out these beams of light, and that becomes molded to the reality we live in. We're like my sacred psychologist friend Narayan Singh used to say, a chip off the old hologram. So what we wrap our light around or wrap our minds around is what we add energy to, and that's what we create. So there is a war when we look all around us for people wanting us to give our thoughts or our light to whatever it is that they're selling or talking about on TV. So really in watching TV and intensely focusing on the mesmerizing quality, and even focusing on the wars, actually adds more energy to that. And it may seem kind of drastic, and maybe many of you already know this, but that's the war. So what, you know, we really need to do is really pull our light back into ourselves and watch what we project our light onto, what thoughts we have in our mind that we project our light onto, and what we have in the world around us. And so then I had this thought, and it was really funny. I thought, okay, well, why not be our own TV station? We could just get one of those, either any kind of little digital camera, they're everywhere now, or little flip videos, or there's all kinds of different ones. I have a couple different ones myself. Just be your own TV station. Just, you know, hold the camera in front of you, or have a friend do it. Film yourself and just talk. Okay, what did I do today? Okay, I got up, and this is what I thought. And imagine that we're all watching you, like the evening news, and you're telling us what, you're guiding us what to wrap our minds around, what you want us to do with our light. So I thought that was a really interesting idea, and I'm watching you, and you're guiding me, and we're all co-creators. So you're letting me know, this is how I'm using my light. This is what I'm co-creating with. This is the projects I'm working about around. This is what I'm thinking about. This is what I'm thinking about my diet. This is what I'm thinking about this person. I'm having compassionate thoughts. And now I'm thinking about going to the grocery store, and I'm friendly with the checkout person. Just to make it very down to earth. Okay, I am a co-creator. I am a god, a goddess. And this is what I'm doing with my light. And this is how I'm sending my light out. So that gives us an opportunity to really bring our power and our energy back to ourselves and not kind of, so to speak, unconsciously allow our light just to go to all these images outside of us, whether it's something, products that advertisers want to sell or the evening news or whatever it happens to be, because it's, you know, at this point we have so much information coming at us that we get to be a little bit more discriminating about what we do with the light from our mind and what we create with that. I also thought it was interesting that why there's so much interest in Tiger Woods. I was thinking about that, and then I was thinking people are interested partly or to a great degree in Tiger Woods because Tiger Woods is a master. He's really achieved a high level of mastery over his reality, his God self. He practices golf, and I've even heard a friend of mine say that he's really a perfectionist. He'll actually golf in a whole tournament, and then after the tournament, even though he does really well, he still may practice for hours and hours just getting that exact shot perfectly. So he really has developed a high sense of mastery and a really high energy and a sense of mastery over lots of money, women, power in the world, whatever you want to call it. And what I feel is that he's been a catalyst, and he was kind of a catalyst for bringing up people's unresolved issues like fears, insecurities, jealousies. And so instead of people saying, okay, I want to be a master, I want to develop myself, I'm going to go practice whatever it is, their interest, you know, there's all this talk about how terrible Tiger Woods is. So people can then feel maybe, you know, some people justify it or whatever, like, oh, he's not so great or like that. So it's just, to me, it's an example of the Piscean age that we're leaving behind, where people can't just embrace their own gifts and develop those, but they have to, you know, in the news media anyway, they have to dominate somebody and, you know, bring him down and make him wrong. So I just thought that was a good example of how there is a war going on for your mind. So we can take our own thoughts back and our own judgments back and make our thoughts our own. So this is what I totally see happening, that we're coming back into our power. The Mother Earth is coming back into balance, coming back into her power. And we're all learning after this, we're all learning really how to claim our God selves. And I also thought it was interesting, there's a person I heard talking on the radio, and he's an archaeologist in South Africa, and he's been excavating the remains of what he believes to be, through lots of evidence, of the place that was the beginnings of Homo sapiens, the first Homo sapien humans on the Earth. It was 400,000 years ago. And he found the remnants of the structures, and it was very, very interesting. And he's saying that the Anunnaki, who were beings from another planet, came to Earth to mine for gold because they needed it for survival. They needed it something for their environment or for their air to breathe. And they needed slaves to mine the gold for them. So they created this hybrid human to mine gold for them. So if this is true, and he's a scientist, he gave all kinds of scientific evidence, and I've heard about this before through Zachariah Sitchin and his writings and the records called the Sumerian Tablets, which I'm sure many of you have heard of. But I was just thinking, isn't this wonderful? It's been 400,000 years, and mankind's gone through all these cycles, as recorded by the Mayans, and all these phases in history. And if this is the moment in history where we learn how to really reclaim our divinity in the human form, our God self in 3D, in human form, and really shake off as a humanity the shackles of being slaves or being dominated. It just seems so interesting to be able to hear this person talk at this time, at this pivotal time in history. So I felt really excited about that. That was a really fun moment for me. So we can just take, reclaim who we are, and if we do this, and I know everybody on the phone call is doing this, but we're just holding that field for the others on the planet, and we can reclaim our God self, our co-creator self, our balanced divine self, our free self with each breath. And one way that we're controlled is we breathe deeply as children, and then as we go to school or different things that happen, we're told to do this, do that, and we start breathing more shallowly, and then we don't feel as powerful, we don't feel as free. So to reclaim our freedom, reclaim our God self, reclaim our goddess self, reclaim our balance and our connection with Gaia, with Mother Earth, we can just continue to practice our deep breathing, as we've been talking about, really breathing all the way into the belly, and then we've been working on lifting up the diaphragm and chanting our Aum breath, bringing our elbows back and palms forward, and really exaggerating that, you know, especially when we're at home or a place where we're not around other people, to get the deep breath coming into the body and with the movement. So we're breathing and then allowing our body to move with our breath, and that will keep us grounded. And then when we take our earth walks and we breathe and connect and walk with Mother Earth, we talked about at the beginning of the call, with each breath we'll be reclaiming more and more of our freedom and more of ourself, and also then reclaiming that vibration and that ascension frequency and anchoring that in with the mother. So that is a big assignment, and it's just a joyful experience that at this pivotal time in history so many wonderful energies are coming forth to all of us to work with in so many frequencies, and it's such a blessing that we can be here at this time bringing our gifts and our love and our talents and expertise to help ground the new frequencies and be the beautiful Shakti activators that we are. And it's funny, I hear Yogi Bhajan on here, he's smiling, saying yes, yes, and he's kind of laughing and really enjoying the work that we're doing. And he's saying he appreciates us and values the work. So let's just go ahead and take a breath in and just feel that big breath all the way up from your feet to your belly. Lift up on your diaphragm, expand, bring it all the way up to your third eye, where you're projecting light out your third eye, and project light out your third eye like a unicorn. That's the light that you create with, that you wrap around the ascension frequencies and what other projects you're working on, and exhale all the way down into the earth. Okay, so our chant is, if anybody else joined us after I explained today, I've been directed to do the chant Ra Ma to work with these new moon frequencies today. Ra is sun, Ma is moon. Rama Rama Satanama.
Thank you.
exhale. Inhale, hold the breath, focus the third eye. And exhale, let it come all the way down into the earth, into your feet, and send it into Mother Earth. And just inhale and exhale, coordinating your breath with Mother Earth. Beautiful, and then slowly come back. Come back into your body. And if you want to unstar six, and we'll share a little bit before we complete the call, and just see how you're doing, and see how you're feeling. For me, I am noticing that the energies aren't as heavy as they've been the last couple weeks, and I feel very relieved about that. So, is anybody else feeling that? Probably feeling very light now after the meditation. Hello? There you go. I hear some breathing. That's a good sign.
You were just talking about the energy, Satnam, this is Sharon, with, you know, with or just feeling kind of a release. Last week or the week before, I was kind of, well, not really dreaming, but, you know, I could just feel like the energies from when I would say the Satanama to, you know, and offend it to other people who I know who can really use that. And, it was just like, I could feel the, I don't know, just the heavier the energies. It kind of woke me up, and I just, you know, but, you know, like I knew that's what it was. It was from several people, and, you know, I just had to let it go then, you know, because I knew that that's just what it was, and it was just being released.
That's beautiful, and it's good to know what it is, and it's good to have a way to break it up, so that's great. I can really feel that, yeah, you helped break up a lot of the energies. That's beautiful. Yeah. So are you feeling lighter now? With this?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, that's
what I was wondering. Yeah.
That was, yeah. Up until the last week or two, several strange experiences like that with, you know, even calling on Baba Siri Chan one time just because I don't know, you know, things were kind of, you know, not scary, but I thought, well, why not? So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and after seeing, like, at the, you know, on my third eye at my feet, one of those, oh, like, you know, from ancient times, like you see on the walls, you know, like those part dog and part people, you know, type
mm-hmm.
creatures, you know, and
mm-hmm.
he was black, you know, and it was like, oh my gosh, you know, and I wasn't really scared, but I thought, well, that's really not good, you know, and so I did call on Baba Siri Chan, and it was really amazing. It was just like this beam of golden light just beaming down. From what other words to explain it, you know. And these, you know, those really tall, like, flowers or weeds that we have around here were just kind of swaying in the breeze, and it was just like illuminating. It was just like, wow. You know, it was really cool. It was really, really awesome.
Wow, thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I can feel an electricity around that. Excellent. Does anybody else have anything they want to share? Can you resonate with me?
Just want
me a card. Okay, hi.
I agree with you on the some general lightness coming up, although there's been a couple of intense days that seem to move much quicker and a lot of resolution comes from it.
Mm-hmm.
And the new moon tomorrow is exactly, it's a new moon, that means sun and moon are exact with each other, and they're both exact on top of my Mars.
Oh, wow.
In Aries. I know, so I have no idea what's going to happen, but I'm ready.
You're ready to move forward, huh?
I guess so. I think on a lot of levels, I think that the theme has been, the healing theme has been accepting the humanity at a level of just total compassion in myself and others. I think that's been the liberating factor, just kind of accepting that.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you. Would anybody else like to share? anything they're experiencing or questions or anything?
I've just been really feeling what you were talking about, that incredible lightness of being all the time. Like, I walk around and my soul is just staring out my eyes, you know. It's just this really peaceful, I want to say reasonable, which I know sounds kind of boring, but it's like, it just, I feel so connected and so reasonable in the world. Like, whatever is there, it's like, okay, this is good, or okay, you know, here's what this is, and I just sort of am allowing. It's almost like being connected to it, but also being a witnesser in a very in a very just peaceful way, you know. And it just, so everything just feels good. And even when I'm dealing with my own personal life and things are going, you know, certain things are happening, or, you know, a fear comes up here or there, I have that sense of, okay, well, let's just dwell here. Let's just sit and watch this together. You know what I mean? Like, so it feels really beautiful. It feels really peaceful.
Beautiful. Wonderful. Yeah, that sounds great. I can feel a lot of good energy around that also. Excellent.
The other thing I wanted to talk about was the Tiger Woods thing. That really resonated with me because it's in the news all the time, and you know, and there's so much criticism, you know, so much. And I was thinking to myself the other day that it's part of this same old dualism that we're actually healing out of, that people would, they cling on to something where it's almost like the nerve of someone to come in and be brilliant, really brilliant, and edge this at something, and then make a mistake. But it's like, you know what, we're all human, and we come in to learn, and he came in the male form, and made around, you know, this big error that's been talked about so much. Those choices are part of what's healing in the masculine, so that they can claim their full God. So I look at it like, you know, hey, he's here to learn lessons just like everyone else, and I almost feel like it's just a projection of the other, whoever clings on to it, about like, can I have the courage to really get out and attempt to be my full God or my full goddess? And will I be attacked if I try, you know, and if I err in some way? Like, so it's what you were saying about, you know, looking at where do we attach our light to? It's almost like, okay, well then, okay, don't read the gossip, but be, like, if you see it or if it crosses your path, you just be able to send out a prayer with your light, with your thought, you know, around the healing of not only Tiger Woods, but just everyone.
Yeah, that's totally beautiful. Yeah, exactly. That's what I feel, too. I think it definitely is an example of, you know, I agree with you, really stirring up people's unconscious and their own unconscious fears. And, yeah, why aren't people thinking about what they need to master rather than, you know, spending so much time on him? So, yeah, I think
exactly.
Seems like a good example, yeah.
Because they're all, you know, when someone takes forward position in consciousness, like someone like Tiger Woods or, you know, like Brad and Angelina, anyone that's in the mass consciousness, you're doing that for the greatest good of all, whether it looks like it or not. So
right.
he is massively, you know, this fall from grace or whatever could be his fall to grace. Could be that he claims himself fully based on this. And, you know, it's like, so, but it takes a lot of courage to be in the forefront of consciousness to help others learn with yourself. You know, I think it might be slightly easier to do it anonymously than to go out big like that and everyone gets to watch you screw up or whatever.
Right, yeah. No, it was definitely an interesting experience to watch what's happening in the mass media.
The mind wants to define others by one thing, you know. It's like, I'll define you by that instead of leaving edgeless space for you just to show who you are, you know.
Right, and there's so many different, at this point, as we move into the Aquarian age, and out of the sort of rigidness, so to speak, of structures that don't work, there's so many ways of loving now. There's, yes, in the 50s or whenever, and different time periods, yes, it was really important just to have, you know, heterosexual male-female marriages, but we're so far beyond that now. You know, there's so many different combinations of ways to love people, and it's just kind of like people are really... to me, it's an example of, you know, people really cling to the past. No marriage has to be this way. No relationships have to be this way. No, we can't have gay marriage or whatever. So it kind of, I feel it's an example of the, you know, the the Saturn Capricorn structures we've been talking about, part of that breaking up too. And there's lots of ways to express love, and you know, maybe that's not how we want to do it, and his wife got pissed off or whatever, but you know, it's just an example that people are expressing their love in many ways. It's not just one rigid way anymore. So it's interesting. Had a lot of parts.
Yeah.
Would anybody else like to share any thoughts or anything on that or anything else before we wind up here? Well, it is fun to watch our own process, feel the energies going on and see how it shows up in ourselves and how it shows up in the media around us and what we do with our light and the power of the time that this is such a pivotal time in history. It could be after 400,000 years of Homo sapiens appearing on the planet that we're gaining a more of a sense of freedom and knowing who we are, and the Chiron moving into Pisces, connecting with our own divinity on the earth. So it's a pretty exciting time. So I'm really thrilled we can all get together and talk every week. And I want to say happy new moon tomorrow and blessings to everyone. So, anybody have any other final thoughts before we complete?
Thank you so much, Julie Karen, for every week coming up and sharing your brilliance.
Oh, you're welcome, Colleen. It's really great. I look forward to being with everybody every week. I feel like we've got a really beautiful, active group. So everybody, keep up the good work. I totally acknowledge you, and so does Yogi Bhajan, who's here, and Baba Siri Chan. You're all being acknowledged more than you know, they're telling me. So we'll connect, and email me if you want to, and otherwise, I will talk to you next Tuesday, April 20th.
Thank you.
Yes.
Satnam.
Satnam.
Bye, everybody. Satnam.
Bye.
Satnam.